gospel this morning is from Matthew, chapter 13, starting with the first verse. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got out of the boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell in good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the world, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the gospel reading that I just read from Matthew, we hear the first of many parables to come this summer. The parable is a unique genre, and I'm sure many of you have heard these over and over throughout your lifetime. The Greek word parable is parabole, which means to compare two things side by side. It is common to hear Jesus teach with parables by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then he explains. Or, "Let me tell you a story." Parables function in a way similar to story, but with a twist. Hearers of the parable know that the purpose of the parable is not to tell a story for entertainment's sake, but rather, as C.H. Dodd noted, the purpose is to tease the mind into active thought. Sometimes parables seem obscure, especially to our postmodern ears. We wonder, what's the point of this parable? What is Jesus getting at here? Speak English to me, Jesus. Modern English, we beg. In reality, a parable is working correctly when we start asking those questions, even getting frustrated. Again, that means that the mind and the heart are engaged, wondering, pondering, even wrestling, which is the whole point of a parable. When pondering a parable, there are always layers to uncover, like peeling back the layers of an onion, only without all the crying. In this reading from Matthew, we hear the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. And instead of focusing on the placement of the seed, it's curious that the sower, that is, the gardener, tosses the seed with wild abandon all over the place, indiscriminately. The sower knows that not all the seed will take root, but that seems to not really bother the sower or slow her down. Now, for those of you who are gardeners or farmers or grew up on a farm, this seems crazy, right? It seems wasteful. It's as if the sower has an unlimited amount of seed. Furthermore, it seems that the sower has no idea how to properly plant a seed, right? You dig, you find some good soil, you put in the seed, you might even fertilize, right? You cover it, you water it. There's a whole lot of tending that goes on. But with this sower, he flings the seed far and wide, seemingly unconcerned with the outcome of the harvest. Compare this with modern farming techniques, like a planter by John Deere and other competitors, I'm sure. Now, for me to mention John Deere is hard because my grandfather was a Ford guy. All of his tractors were Fords. But John Deere has come a long way. They have this planter now that drills the seed into the soil, and with a puff of air, it increases the efficiency of the planting process. It ensures that each and every seed goes right where it would be the best for it to take root, for it to grow. Seeds are drilled into the fertile soil with a puff of air to keep it right in place. And that increases the efficiency and the chances of that healthy plant growing and producing the intended fruit. Produce to feed animals or people, to generate products that make life good, like soybeans or sunflower seeds that are made into nuts and oil and tofu and other products. Modern farming techniques have taken a lot of the guesswork out of planting, even harvesting. But even still, crops are vulnerable to the weather, to heat and cold, rain and wind and hail. Crops are also dependent upon the farmer or the gardener to till, fertilize, plant, tend, weed, and then harvest. Without the care of the farmer, the harvest would literally go to the birds, right? With any parable, our minds wrestle with the story, and we aim to tease out the truth for our own lives. In first century Judea, crop farming was necessary to feed humans and animals, with little in the way of a promise for a yield. So in the second part of this reading, when we hear Jesus break down the parable, he teaches this in a way that helps us bring this to life. Jesus compares the seeds to the word of God. The soil is the state of the human heart, the ability or lack thereof to receive that word of God, to let it take root, and to produce fruit. God is the sower who sows the word generously with wild abandon, to all people in all places, regardless of the state of their hearts. There is no precision involved in placing the seed only where the harvest will yield fruit. No, God just tosses the seed far and wide with love and grace and mercy to all throughout this earth. Sure, 3/4 of the seed will not produce fruit, we are told. But that doesn't deter God from sowing the seeds, from extending mercy, from hearing the cries of the people and responding by planting seeds. No, God doesn't shy about planting seeds, and neither should it deter us from doing the same. In a world that is so often focused on scarcity, we are reminded of the generosity of God. We are reminded that there is apparently no end to the supply that God provides. So what then are we to do as both receivers of this seed and sowers of this seed? Well, we can be confident that, as the prophet Isaiah said in the earlier reading, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This set of verses is why I sleep well at night on Saturday nights before I come and preach on Sunday morning. That promise, my word that goes out from my mouth shall not return empty, Because I trust that my proclamation, while imperfect, while lacking, while it may go a few minutes too long, will not return empty. But through the persistent and generous work of the Holy Spirit, will accomplish far more than I ever could. More than I could ever hope for. Far more than I could ever accomplish on my own. That is my task, and it's yours too. We are to be generous and indiscriminate planters of seeds. We plant seeds by our very presence, through our interactions with neighbors and friends and strangers and coworkers. We even plant seeds even when we least expect it. Now, there are those who bemoan the decline of the mainline church, which includes Lutherans as well as Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and a lot of other of our Christian siblings. Some look at this as another example of scarcity. This church is changing, and membership in the ELCA and other mainline churches is declining. That's a fact. Some bemoan this reality or deny that it is even happening. They bemoan that younger generations are not flocking to the church in the same way as previous generations. We could let this new reality gridlock our creativity, stifling the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit, or we could keep on sowing seeds, generously, with abundance, recklessly spreading the word of God, the mercy and love of God to all. We as the ELCA could take a step back from our Scandinavian and German heritage to stop defining ourselves by Lefse and Lutefisk and Jell-O and egg coffee, and instead identify that some people, they identify with this, but it also pushes them out if they're not from this heritage. Instead, we could start defining ourselves by our welcome, by our mission, by our responsibility to our neighbors as people who are sent by the word of God. An Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, we may need to be creative in how we see our mission in this corner of the world. Is success of the church defined by the number of people in worship or the number of dollars in the collection basket? Or is a thriving ministry defined by the sowing of seeds, in the wild abandon with which we extend the love of God to our neighbors, in the ways that we trust the Holy Spirit to take seeds and allow them to sprout, to grow roots, and to produce fruit? As those who are followers of Jesus, we may not be highly skilled at planting these seeds, but it is our job to sow wherever we are planted, to sow justice in community, to sow humility and compassion in our relationships, to sow gentleness and kindness to our enemies, to sow forgiveness and mercy to all. The job of the sower, the gardener, is not a passive kind of job, but as an active participant in what God is doing in the fertile soil and the rocky terrain that is all around us, even within us. We cannot just sit back and wait for others to sow the seeds. No. We must spread with wild abandon the message of God's generous, abundant, even wasteful use of grace. And then it is our job to simply trust. We need to trust God. Trust just as the farmer must plant and fertilize, till, and then with trust, let go. We must also let go in hope and trust to allow for the harvest to come forth, whatever that looks like. Please pray with me. Lord, help us to trust that you, the wise gardener, the skilled farmer, will produce what this world needs. We trust that you will take the seeds that your word sows, the seeds that we sow in this corner of the world, and will produce something good, something holy, something generous. Help us to sow seeds of grace and mercy and love and justice to all we meet, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.